Good morning, everyone. My name is Ryan. It's great to be with you here this morning. And yes, I am aware that Movember finished about 2 months ago. Every year on the 4th of July, what happens? 4th of July. It's the day after my birthday, but that's not what I'm talking about. Americans observe Independence Day, a day that celebrates national independence from the rule of Great Britain. And this dates back to 1776. Also, Scotland has had multiple wars over the span of 60 years where they were fighting for independence from England. I'm not sure what's going on with England and why everyone wants independence from them. I don't know if they're really that bad, but that's a sermon for another day. I'm sure you've heard about maybe the Hutt River Province. Out in Western Australia, there's a guy called Leonard Casley who took his 75 square kilometre block of land and declared it an independent sovereign state, independent from Australia. Or if you asked any 16-year-old that you know, I'm willing to bet that they'll tell you how excited they are to get their P's and take that next step of independence away from their parents. Society tells us that independence is empowering and that it's weak to be dependent on anything or anyone other than yourself. The idea of independence in this way says that you need to take control into your own hands and not let something else or someone else make your decisions for you. Although I think independence in some ways is a beautiful thing, like how a newborn child depends on their parents for life, or like whether I eat dinner tonight is dependent on my wife, I think the Bible has a lot to say about the topic of dependence and where in particular God's people should place it. This morning, as we continue in the emoji series, we're looking at Psalm 55 and what it has to say about dependence. But before we get stuck into it, how about I pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this part of your word. We thank you that you speak to us through it. Lord, we pray that you would quiet our hearts and help us to listen. Lord, cast off any distractions that are on our minds. Lord, help us to hear what you have to say to us. Help me to speak clearly and faithfully. And I ask that we would leave this morning changed more into the image of your son, Jesus. Amen. Well, there is an age-old argument between men and women. Men think that women talk a bit cryptically and aren't always heaps clear in the communication of their emotions. So men have to decode a bit between what's being said and what's being felt. Women, on the other hand, think that men don't even talk about their emotions, that men are so unclear in the communication of their emotions. To this argument, I have one comment and one comment only. Have you ever read David in the Psalms? I think David is very clear in the communication of his emotions. If you need proof, have a look again at the first couple of verses of Psalm 55. It says this: "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not yourself from my plea for mercy. Attend to me and answer me. I am restless in my complaint and I moan because of the noise of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked. For they drop trouble upon me, and in anger they bear a grudge against me. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me." The language that David is using really gives away his emotional state. It's pretty clear that he's in a state of anguish, which means he's severely distressed. And it's quite intense language that David is using. Let's have a skim over the first five verses and look at some of the words that David uses. He says, "I'm restless. My heart is in anguish. The terrors of death are over me. Fear and trembling are upon me. Horror overwhelms me." It's clear to see that David is greatly distressed. I'd say that he is seriously freaking out. So what's got him feeling this way? What is it that is going on that has David so worried? Well, if you're well-versed in your Old Testament, you'll know that in 2 Samuel, especially around chapters 14 to 16, David's very own son, Absalom, is trying to kill him. David's own son is trying to kill him and take over as the king. But that's not even the full extent of the situation. There's more. David's closest advisor, one of his good friends, a guy named Ahithophel, who's one of David's personal council members, he's one of his best mates, he's actually betrayed David and gone over to help the enemy. Have a look again at, down at verse 12. It says, "For it is not an enemy who taunts me, then I could bear it. But it is you, a man, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. We used to take sweet counsel together. Within God's house we walked in the throng." David is talking about his friend Ahithophel in these verses and his betrayal. And if you're taking notes, the reference is in 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 31, where it talks about David being on top of the Mount of Olives and he's crying out to the Lord about Ahithophel's betrayal. Now, I'm not talking about some schoolyard bullying or spreading gossips or rumour. This is David's closest advisor, one of his best mates who knows the ins and outs of how he operates, and he's gone over to the enemy and is helping David's son figure out the best plan to kill and overthrow David as the king. It's no wonder that David is in a state of anguish. Now you might be left thinking, well, my son and my best friend aren't conspiring to have me killed, so I can't really relate to this. But I think we can. I think all of us can, because God has given us the Psalms so that we can relate to it, so that we can empathize with it and see that our emotions are fair and normal. That's the exact reason we're doing the emoji series, to see that the Psalms are the emotional epicenter of the Bible. Because we're all going to go through really difficult life circumstances. And there will be things in life that come our way that are going to make us feel great anguish, just like David in this psalm. Now, it may not be your son conspiring to usurp your throne, but it might be things like the anguish of losing a loved one, the anguish of seeing death in our friendship circles and in our families, the anguish of being betrayed by someone that you love and trust, the anguish of seeing a breakdown in the family unit, the anguish of a debilitating debt and financial stress. These are real situations that real people face. I know I have, and I know most of us have, if not, we will. And that's why this part of God's word is here for us, to help us to see God in the hardest days of our lives. Now, I'll be honest with you, there's one thing that I really hate hearing when things in life are going really bad. I hate when people say, "It's okay, God's in control." It's the last thing I want to hear in that moment. I know it's true, but in those times, I don't like hearing it. But I also know that it's what I need to hear. And I need to hear it and be reminded of it constantly, just as much as in the hard times and in the good times. I read an awesome article this week, and I want to quote something from it that I couldn't say any better myself. It was written by a guy called Chuck Smith, and he said this: "If we have not learned God's faithfulness in the normal affairs of life, we are not likely to suddenly learn the calm assurance of faith when we're faced with life's greatest tests and trials." So you may not necessarily be in hardship now, or you might think you don't need to hear this message right now, but you actually need to hear this message just as much, if not more. Because when life does get tough, and if you're like me, you don't want to hear it, you need to be able to recall the goodness and the sovereignty of God, so that in those times, you're prepared for when the inevitable hardships of life come your way. So how are we supposed to respond when hardships come our way? Well, in this psalm, we see that David does it by crying out to the Lord. I can tell you that any surfer in this room knows the feeling of crying out to God. There have been multiple times in my life when I have been surfing and it's been much bigger than my comfort zone can handle. Maybe you're not a surfer, but you also know the feeling. I remember one particular time, I was in Sumatra on a surf trip with some mates of mine. And the surf was pretty big on this one particular day, and it was a lot bigger than I could handle, but I thought, you know what, I'll push myself, I'll go out there. And while we were out there, the waves just seemed to be getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and it was so much bigger than I could handle. And after a while of paddling over these huge waves, we saw this massive monster set come rolling in, and I was freaking out. I was honestly petrified. And I remember paddling as hard as I could, and as I'm paddling, I was thinking, this is how I'm going to die. This huge wave, it's going to kill me. And I'm paddling as hard as I can, and I was crying out to God, and I was begging for safety, and I was praying for help. It was terrifying. And when that wave hit me, I got absolutely worked. And I reckon any surfer in the room will have a very similar story. And I bet you each one of them all cried out to God for help and probably promised to be a missionary in Africa if they survived. When we're faced with our mortality and our smallness and we recognize that we're in serious trouble, our natural reaction is to cry out. I think every single person in the face of serious trouble cries out to something bigger than themselves. Non-Christians cry out to something bigger, something out there, some unknown being. But we, as Christians, we don't cry out to some unknown being or force, but we cry out to our God. Now, does it mean that when we're crying out, is that an act of doubt? Does it mean that by crying out, we're not trusting God in that situation? I think not. I think it's right for us to cry out to God, to call out to him for help. This is exactly what we see in this psalm. David is in a terrible situation, causing him great anguish, and he's crying out to God for help. In the midst of anguish and distress, he cries out to God. It's good for us and is right for us to cry out to God for help. I'm confident of this because it's exactly what Jesus did. In the Garden of Gethsemane, just hours before Jesus was going to be betrayed and killed, he prayed to the Lord and said this, "My soul is sorrowful, even to death. My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." Jesus was greatly distressed. Luke chapter 22, verse 44 uses the same word, anguish, and tells us that in that moment, Jesus even sweat out blood. And in that moment, even Jesus cried out to the Father. It is right for us to cry out to the Father. It shows that we're dependent on him. So it's worth asking then, do you cry out to God when you're in distress? Is God your first point of call, or do you call someone else instead? Do you go to someone else first and then have God as the backup plan? Or maybe you go to something else. Do you rely on something to help you get through the harder times in life? Either way, whatever it is that isn't the Lord, it will not be able to sustain you or bear the weight of your burdens. Don't have God as your backup plan, but have him as number one on your speed dial. Because God is the only one that can sustain you and that can bear the weight of your burdens. Nothing else can. Have a look at verse 22. It says, "Cast your burdens on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved." This verse makes me think of Matthew 11:28, where Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Only God can give you rest. Only God can sustain you through hardships. So why turn to anything else other than Him? Don't leave God as the backup plan, but turn to Him first in everything. It's worth again looking at how David responds in his circumstance. He doesn't only respond by crying out in anguish, but the key is in verse 16. You can see a clear turning point in the psalm at verse 16. The psalm unfolds like this. David cries out to God, and then he calls for justice and for his enemies to be dealt with. And then at this point, he turns to God in trust. Verse 16 says, "But I call to God, and the Lord will save me." His trust in the Lord is clear. He confidently declares that he calls to God, and the Lord will save him. What a confidence he has. What a trust he has in the character of God and in God's faithfulness to keep his promises. He continues to say, "Evening and morning and at noon I utter my complaint and moan, and he hears my voice." Do you have this kind of trust in the character and the promises of God? In the midst of such hardship and anguish, could you say, "I trust the Lord and in his plans"? It does pose the question, what about when God doesn't answer my prayers the way I'd hoped? What about the times when I prayed for healing and nothing happens? What about my sick family member? What about my crippling depression? Why isn't God saving me from these things? The first thing to know when going through these anguishing situations in life is that the Lord is with you in it. He is not far away. He is not absent. He has not forgotten about you. But he is always with you. And his rescuing may not come in the way that you expect or even hope that it would. But your security and your assurance is in Jesus. See, we're not promised an easy life, but we are promised an eternal life. David says, "I trust God and he will save me." And we too can say, "I trust God and he has saved me through Jesus with eternal salvation." Our current circumstances may not resolve the way that we prayed they would, but our ultimate salvation, it is untouchable, it's ironclad, it's written in blood because of Jesus, and we are secure in it. And it's in these situations where faith is being tested and sharpened and refined that God wants our utter dependence to be on him. Think again of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. We read it partly before. Jesus prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. But not as I will, but as you will." In the midst of such suffering and anguish, could you say, "I trust in the Lord and in his plans right now, not mine"? In this psalm, from start to finish, we see David's utter dependence on the Lord. From his cries of anguish in the beginning to his confession of trust in the Lord's plans at the end, and all despite this crazy situation that he's in. I was thinking in light of last week's sermon, Ron spoke about praising God. And I think that often people fall into one of two categories. The first group is those who turn to God whenever life isn't going to plan, when things are rough. They turn to God and they cry out for help. But then when life's running smoothly, they sort of forget about God. He's a bit of a crutch that they lean on when things are tough. But when it's good, he's not really a priority. And then the second group is the opposite of that. They praise God and they thank God when things are good and everything's excellent. Thanks God, heaps for that. But then as soon as life gets bumpy, they turn their backs on God and even curse him in frustration and hurt, thinking that he doesn't care about them. I want to propose that we be a people who both praise God in the good and cry out to God in the hard. People who utterly depend on God and go to him in all circumstances and all seasons of life. Like the example we get of David in this psalm, or the example of Jesus before the cross, we need to trust and depend on God wholly in both the really difficult times in life and in the normal, boring day-to-day, so that we're prepared for the hardships yet to come. A good start is by reading his word, so that we're being constantly reminded of God's good character and his faithfulness to keep his promises. And as we're reminded of this daily by engaging with his word. It's also expressed through the way we pray and through our prayers. The measure of your dependence on God can be seen in what you bring to God and how much of your life you bring to God. Your dependence on God can be measured by how much you bring to him and what you bring to him. So we need to bring ourselves humbly before the Lord in prayer in both the normal day-to-day and in the hardest days that you face, trusting that the Lord will sustain you and that your salvation is secured by the blood of Jesus. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this part of your word. We thank you that it is relatable, that it is real, and that it reassures us that our emotions are fair and normal. Lord, we thank you for your character, and that by reading your word, we can see that you are unchangeable, that you are always good, that you are always with us, and that you are so faithful to keep your promises. Lord, we thank you that in life's greatest challenges, you are not far from us, but you are always with us. Lord, help us to depend fully on you in trust. Lord, help us to be a people who call out to you, who cry out to you in the hardships of life, and who go to you in the normal day-to-day life and bring everything before you in utter dependence. Lord, remind us daily through your word so that we are always prepared for what is yet to come. Lord, help us to be transformed by your Spirit more into the image of your Son, Jesus. Amen.